This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this, Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
So there's Tennessee Valentine by Amy LaVere and Will Sexton. Some Memphis Valentine's Day music for you.
All right, you got a mailbag up over at the Daily Memphian, and I'd urge people to read it. Just a few of the things, though, that came up. One is something that we've talked about here on this show, which is, I don't know the exact question, but basically someone asked, why don't fans seem to be having more fun with this? And of course, who knows how much fun fans are having or not. And I think the question came from Twitter, you pointed out, where people tend to be less happy than happy. But it is an interesting place the Grizzlies find themselves in, because like they're having a, by what one would have might have predicted looking at this year when it first began, a damn good year and an entertaining year. And yet there seems to be a lot of angst as well embedded in it. Do you have any theories?
Yeah, I answered the question in the mailbag, obviously. And it relates a little bit to the question, I think, above it, maybe the first question in the mailbag about comparing this team to the 56-win team 3 years ago. Uh-huh. I think there's a natural thing that happens with fandom, and I don't know, maybe you could speak to this better as a Bills fan who, you know, you're good, but you don't break through after a period of time. There's a thing where when you settle at a certain place, even if it's a good place, but you sort of settle there, I think there's a tendency to get restless about that over time. I think that's a natural fan tendency. What I would say about this team, though, is that it hasn't really settled there. The question I got about comparing it to the team 3 years ago, and I did a little contrast, and it's wild how similar it is. Like the win pace is about the same, the offense defense ranks are about the same, where they are in the standings is about the same, and the average age of the top 11 players on each of those teams is 24.1 years old, 3 years ago and today. But what happened to the Grizzlies was they didn't stay in that place. They got sucked out of it completely and had to fight their way back to it. And so they went through this like 2-year-long detour where, because of the John Morant off-court stuff, because of a series of major injuries, because of a failed Marcus Smart trade, all these things happen. And it's almost like the Grizzlies are on a certain path and they just sort of get sucked into this black hole. And they're like, you know, for 2 years, they're sort of gone. And then they get plopped right back down on the road. But they get plopped right back at the same place that they left. And so there's a sense that they haven't gone anywhere when, in fact, they've gone on this wild journey to get back to where they were to begin with. And whether you're happy about like being back to where you were, or you're unhappy because you're not further ahead than that, I think that's really like that gets down into just your individual fandom and like how you approach it, right? But I do think that is what the situation's been. They got sucked out of this really good spot, went on this two-year-long journey, and now they're right back to where they were. But it's not clear that they're at all ahead of where they were.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're exactly right. So if your typical team that ascends, we're all happy when it's ascending. We're like, woohoo, we're the up-and-coming team, and everyone's ascending, and the future's bright. And then it stalls, or most teams, because most teams don't win championships. At some level, it that's stalls right. short of absolute delirium happiness. And so that's when the dissatisfaction settles in, right? But here, you would think maybe there wouldn't be quite that level of dissatisfaction because in the, as you point out, in the meantime, they had this horrible detour. And so maybe we should be more appreciative of the fact. I think had they just had three consecutive, well, let's just say this. Let's say that they had last year hadn't happened and they had gone to the playoffs again last year. And let's say been bounced in the first year and I think there would people would be in the first round. People would be even less happy, right? If you just settle,
I think that's right.
But because we had this thing, maybe we are slightly more appreciative. Here's the other thing, though, is that I thought it was a fascinating the comparing this team and that team from 2 years ago, because the core has gotten older and presumably better. Although the jaw thing is interesting, you know, and then the surrounding pieces are totally. Like different and younger, like and maybe those that younger surrounding core represent maybe some of the weaknesses and vulnerabilities of this team. So I don't know your thoughts on how those teams are different because they are similar in their way they've gone up in their stats and everything else, but the supplementary piece is very different.
I may have missed your question because the way you phrased it, I got a flash of. John Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bane, it's Wooderson standing in front of the roller rink pool hall saying, you got to love the supporting cast, man. We get older and they stay the same age.
Well, they got older. The supporting cast back then was a collection of
right.
veterans.
And yeah,
now it's
it got younger.
All youth. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is not ideal. I think there's a degree, there was some elective part of that at one point in the detour, maybe. But it's really been accidental since then. The Grizzlies didn't want Steven Adams to, like, wreck his knee and be gone for a year and a half and for them to lose faith in the idea of him as a starting center, right? If that never happened, Steven Adams might still be the starting center on this team. The Grizzlies 100% did not want the Marcus Smart trade to fail. If that hadn't failed, then Marcus Smart might be a starter on this team. This team would look different if it was, like, you know, 29-year-old or 30-year-old Marcus Smart and 30-year-old Steven Adams as the two starters alongside the big three. And then you've got, you know, Luke Kennard, Brandon Clark, Santi Aldama off the bench, and suddenly, like, your average age is 27 or whatever, and it feels like you're right there. Those things didn't happen. And they didn't happen for reasons that are, to some degree, outside of team control. And the team didn't plan for Jalen Wells to, like, get an opportunity and then just not let go of it. You know, it's a second-round draft pick. No one thought he was going to start this season. His mama probably didn't think he was going to start this season, you know? it just sort of happened that way. Now, it does give you the situation where you could feel like this year's team is not really where it should be. But those stars are still young. And so it does give you, like, this sense of longevity if, like, Morant can have longevity, right? You can re-sign Jaren Jackson. There's reasons for concern about some of that stuff, I think more than Morant. But, like, this team is good, and this team is built to stay good. And, like, I think people should, like, enjoy having a good basketball team.
It is interesting because you said the floor of that team 2 years ago was losing in the first round and the ceiling was can maybe hang with the elite but isn't quite one of them, right? That's what you said about – and you think that's the floor and the ceiling of this team as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very similar. I mean, that Grizzlies team almost lost in the first round to the lower seed of Minnesota. So it would not have been a surprise if, you know, you played that scenario out more times. It's going to be a lot of them where they lose that series. So I don't think anyone would be shocked if this Grizzlies team lost in the first round, especially if you draw, like, you know, the Clippers, you know, and Kawhi Leonard's healthy, right, in a first-round series.
Right.
And I don't think it wouldn't surprise me, at least, if you get into a second round that gets, say, a Denver or even a conference finals against Oklahoma City, and, like, you win a game or two and, like, you're competitive. But you're kind of scrapping just to hang in there, and then you look up, and that team that beat you goes on to win a title, right? That wouldn't be surprising either. would it be surprising if this Grizzlies team won a title? Yeah, I think you have to say that.
The season 2 years ago, when it ended, there was When it ended, there was hope for the future because your young core was going to get better. They were the young core. Now, weirdly enough, it's that the pieces around the core.
Sporting cast is going to get better. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. But you still have that core, man. You still have John Morant, Desmond Bane, Jared Jackson. They're all still only just now in their mid-20s, really.
I would ask, I'd urge people to read the mailbag themselves because a lot of good stuff in it. But one of the interesting things was someone asked, fairly harsh question, was it a failure to not add a fourth player, a fourth core player around Ja, Bane, and Jaren during the rookie window when these guys were at it cheap? And you pointed out they tried. Marcus Smart was an effort to do that. Justice Winslow was an effort to do that. Looking for Ananobi and Bridges, looking into those deals, an effort to do that. But then this is the point I want to get to. The question is, you think they have a bunch of players on the roster currently who could be a fourth core player. And those would be Aldama, Edey, Williams Jr., Wells. Who am I missing?
Gigi Jackson.
And Gigi Jackson, right.
Right.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts on
well,
that?
It's possible that my definition of what a number four guy is and what some reader's definition is different. I'm not talking about Jimmy Butler. Like, I'm talking about a number four guy. If you're a number four guy, like, you're not making an all-star team, right? I'm talking about a quality starter, someone who is better than any fourth, whoever the fourth best player on the team is this season. If they traded for Cam Johnson, you could call that like a fourth guy, right? I'm talking about that kind of player. I think Edey, to me, the guys who are like have the highest ceiling to be that are probably Edey and Gigi Jackson. They're also probably less far along than the other three. So they would both take different shapes, right? I look at there's another mailbag question where I talk about how similar the construction is between the Grizzlies and the Cavs, right? Everyone would say Jared Allen is a good number four guy. He's the four guy at number four here on the Cavs. I think he squeaked into one all-star team, but he's really like not really quite an all-star. He's like a borderline kind of all-star. He's a quality center. He's a double-double guy who starts at center and gets you 15 points and 12 rebounds or whatever and plays good defense. Like a really good fourth guy on a team that's the second best record in the NBA. Like Zach Edey could be that. That wouldn't be at all surprising if Zach Edey were that. Santi Aldama, Jalen Wells, Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson, in different ways could be a similar level of player. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think any of those guys individually is a better than 50% proposition to be that. You got five dart throws that all have reasonable chances. I think it's a decent chance one of those guys becomes that level of player.
All right, we got the All-Star Weekend, I guess. We do. We definitely have the All-Star Weekend. Are you going to make an effort to watch any of it? What is most intriguing? I mean, we got Rising Stars tonight, where you got two Grizzlies playing. That'll be fun.
I haven't thought at all about what my television watching plans are this weekend or whether I would have any. It might depend. If I am home and it's deemed that television will be watched, it will depend on whether my wife is also wanting to watch television, in which case I would rather watch a movie with her than to watch All-Star stuff alone. And so I don't know. If anything interesting happens, I can find it on YouTube. So I'm not really that worked up about it.
That's 100%. Well, it's interesting. What the NHL is doing this year is, I mean, the fundamental problem is no one cares, right? The fundamental problem is no one cares. And so players don't play hard. And once upon a time, they did. And I don't know what changed exactly. But what the NHL is doing is they're playing this Four Nations tournament. And really, there's no reason that anyone should care any more or less. But it's Canada, the U.S., Finland, and Sweden, and people are playing like it's playoff hockey. And so it's – I don't know that anything you could do – I don't know what they could do in the NBA.
I am just not at all worked up about any of this, honestly. Like, it's there for you if you want to care about it, and that is great. And if you're, like, an NBA fan, more like me, who just, like – been a long season. There's more to come. And hey, the team you're rooting for or covering or whatever is heading to the playoffs, so it's going to go even longer. Like, you know, have a nice break. Like just like the players, man. Some of those players are in Vegas doing NBA stuff. Some of them are like in Cancun or whatever, you know, to each his own.
I hope they're having a good time. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his mailbag over at the Daily Memphian. He points out, by the way, that if you look at like Oklahoma City, this is the whole question about finding that fourth player. If you look at Oklahoma City, like what are the differences? Why is Oklahoma City, there's a clear gap with the Grizzlies now, right? Well, one is their star player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is
playing
a two-way player who is healthy. Right, exactly, right? He's much more available, and he's a two-way player, right? And so that's one part of it. But the other part is that, you know, they get Alex Caruso and Hartenstein, right, who are playing, and the Grizzlies went and got Adams and Smart, who flamed out. Well, you know, there's a center and a defensive-oriented perimeter player.
Yep.
And the Grizzlies whiffed. I don't think you could say. I think Steven Adams was just bad luck. It was injury. That's why they whiffed there. The Marcus Smart part wasn't bad luck. They just whiffed. You know, if they had taken those picks and gotten Caruso or the equivalent with them instead of Marcus Smart, they'd be in a better place than they are. It is interesting, though, that if you compare it to that team, then the promise was in the youth of the core. Now the promise for the future is in the youth of the supporting cast and the hope that it will get better going forward. All right, we got to take a break. I will remind you that if you want something extra for Valentine's Day, don't just, here's the truth. I'm going to say this. I don't think another box of chocolates, like go to the frame corner and get a beautiful frame and take a picture of the two of you and slip it in there and you'll look thoughtful. And then, by the way, in the future, what you should do is take something in for custom framing, because that's what they do at Frame Corner. People act like, you don't know, if you want something beautifully framed, whether it's a piece of art or sports memorabilia or wedding pictures or whatever it is, you want someone who does this stuff for a living, who are really artists is what they are. And that's what they do at the Frame Corner. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Now, we've got Jennifer Valley coming up next. She is the official sex therapist of the Jeff Calkins Show. We have her every year on Valentine's Day. I will try to get through it without cringing, fainting, or otherwise stumbling all over myself. I will do that next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show. Here goes, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Jeff Calkins show, joined now by Dr. Jennifer Valley, certified sex therapist, official sex therapist of the Jeff Calkins show. Also, by the way, assistant professor at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in the Department of Urology and OBGYN. This is shockingly, this is the 9th year that on Valentine's Day we have had that Dr. Valley has agreed to come into the studio and talk to us about sex. Time flies when we're having fun, don't you think, Jennifer?
I'm laughing because I think for 9 years we've opened with that cheesy song.
Well, there's been one consistent in those 9 years. Your boy's been producing.
Oh, Jeffrey's the cheesy producer, and yes, exactly right. Listen, this is exactly right. It's 9 years. It's sort of, this is a little bit like relationships, Jennifer. How do you keep it fresh, right? How do you keep it fresh 9 years in? And what you're saying is we're already in a rut. This is exactly like a relationship. You're criticizing the cheesy song, the same things that you liked us for once upon a time, you now think are cheesy. This is exactly the way relationships go off the rails.
Okay, well, we both then need to talk about how much we appreciate what we appreciate from each other.
Is that the key when things start going off the rails?
There is something to that. That there is something to really, you know, articulating what you want different, and then also still knowing how to value. And because everybody wants to, not only does everybody want to feel desired, but they want to feel valued. They want to feel valued and seen and heard and really appreciated, you know?
So it's funny because we think about, and by the way, Dr. Valley has there's a seminar coming up with the UT Department of Urology about prostate cancer, its impacts, at whatever. And we're going to talk about that because it's important in just a little bit. But the
We talk about the cliche Valentine's Day, the flowers, the chocolates, the whatever else. But what you just said really is at the heart of it. And probably flowers and chocolates don't actually do it. And if they do, it's one day and it's cliche because you have to buy it. But in the end, is that the key? Is it actually feeling appreciated and desired by your partner?
Yes, I think that is key. I think it, and of course, I mean, it actually kind of is important, not the perfect gift, but just that you're communicating that you do really care about somebody. And that could be through chocolates or lingerie or anything, right? That you've taken the time to really think about them and appreciate them. And ideally, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but
This segment is the one segment a year where you're allowed to say it, Jennifer.
Well, there's a florist in town, and they have this great deal with it's called the flower card. And every month, you bring somebody flowers. So rather than just doing it on Valentine's Day, right, you're doing that every month. Every month, you show this little card, and you bring them flowers. It's the best situation. Because it's ongoing, right? You're not just doing it when you're in trouble or when it's Valentine's Day, right? Or anniversary. You're doing it every month to think, you know, I thought about you.
So people talk about, I just Googled sex on Valentine's Day. Is it important to have sex on Valentine's Day? Do people have whatever? And here's my official position. My official position on birthday sex, Valentine's sex, whatever else, is that it shouldn't be a favor or a pity or whatever. Like, it should be an ongoing organic part of your relationship, just like the flowers. Maybe there's the metaphor. It shouldn't just be the flowers shouldn't just be arriving on Valentine's Day, and neither should intimacy. I mean, I'm saying something pretty obvious, right?
No,
you're the professional.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I think every couple may define what sex is. Like I say all the time, sex, not just penetrative sex. Like I'm talking about all different kinds of sex when I say sex. So people have different definitions of sex. And, but yes, sex is important to a lot of people. And it's an important component of the relationship. But every couple defines that for themselves. Right, so I'm not going to help somebody.
Do you have success? Once that's dried up in a relationship,
which is dried up?
Sex, intimacy, connection, all those things, which I suspect are often related, right? I would imagine. Is there actually hope for couples who have, you know?
All right, that's a very dismal question there, Jeff. Dried up.
I'm a newlywed, so none of this relates to me, of course. But is there hope? Is there hope? I'm sure, for some people listening, are thinking, that ship has sailed for us.
No, I don't think so. I think, there are ways that I would talk about integrating it in, but there needs to be a commitment, again, from both people. If I was going to add it in for somebody that was not being actively sexual, I would be saying start a little bit at a time with the least anxiety producing things first, rather than like, okay, tonight's the night, we're going to get the erection, we're going to just white knuckle through this and just make it
happen. Jeffrey's going to cue up the music. Here we go. Exactly right. This is going to be.
It's a routine.
Now's the time. Countdown. Right.
Well, that's a lot of pressure on men's erections, right? And it can be a lot of pressure on women, especially if they're not doing what they need to in terms of if they're, you know, let's say older and they haven't been doing what they need to in terms of vaginal health, right? Moisturizers, lubricants. Oh, I need to tell you, I did not bring you guys lubricant.
I know. It's whoa, I know. It's the yearly gift. Yeah.
This is exactly it. This is the relationship.
This is how it goes. Jeff, we're getting criticized for everything we do. Like, yep.
You don't bring me lubricants. You don't give me. Yeah, right. Is it anymore? Well, like,
listen, when you lose the Uber lube, you lose the relationship.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not seeing flowers here, Jeff.
No more lube for us.
You did not
Jeffrey.
Bring me flowers.
We're definitely not getting the flowers of the month club.
Okay. But the one of the things I have noticed recently is there's a lot of like in films and books and across modern culture this year, it's been a big year for women of middle age, women having sex. And that's like Nicole Kidman. I didn't see the film, but I gather in Baby Girl, she's having a lot of sex and interesting, whatever sort of sex. Then there was a book called All Fours, suggestive title right there, by Miranda July. I don't know if that's her real name, which was basically, I gather, brimming with sex. And sort of this has been a theme. What do you make of? Did you either see the film or read the book?
I read the book.
Oh, you read the book?
Yeah, it was a nice book.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a naughty book.
There is a lot of sex in that book. You have to kind of be ready for that. And it's interesting because I don't think it's just about sex. I think it's more about a woman trying to. Some of it is that she's trying to navigate her sexuality within the. She's basically perimenopausal, so prior to menopause, but she's sort of understanding that, and there's a lot of grief and loss in that as we get older, as everything shifts. Shifts for sure. But
someone described it once. Someone described getting older as standing in front of the mirror, you feel like a melting candle.
Oh my gosh. These are terrible. Some sad descriptions here.
That was a woman who said that. I feel like a melting candle.
Oh my goodness.
But the nice thing is on All Fours and Nicole Kidman, we're saying, no, you're not a melting candle. Your candle can still be lit and it'd be as bright a flame as it ever was, and brighter. In fact, I read a piece in the New York Times from a woman recently who said, I don't know what the stats are about young people seem to be having less sex, but that maybe because when you're older, you don't have preconceptions about what it should be and you're more comfortable with your own sense of what you want and whatever, that actually older people may be having more sex and better sex. And yes. Now I'm talking in grand generalities, but do you have any reaction to me babbling?
Studies show that, I'm thinking of one study that was, they compared women in their 50s to women in their 20s, and the women in their 50s had much more satisfying sex. Like, we know that faking orgasm is something for a younger woman, if the numbers are much higher when women are younger compared to when they're older. And so at 50, there's more confidence in the bedroom, able to be verbal, able to say, wait, that's not going to work for me. And so there becomes more satisfaction. But I think, you know, what happens with the media is we get sort of like that. When I think of that book and what goes on, it's sort of like, you know, it's basically about desire and feeling like you want to feel desired. That's really the key to me with Valentine's Day, too, conveying that you desire somebody. Everybody really wants that feeling of desire, and they want to feel like they have some worth in the world. And I think that still, when we look at films, they're skinny white women that we're seeing, that it's like okay to feel sexual, like that. Basically, sexuality is for it reinforces
for hot people,
certain
right,
people.
But it's not true.
Yes, certain attractive people are worthy of sex, right? And so that takes away anybody who's older. It takes away anybody that is disabled. It takes away. There's a lot of people that eliminates.
Let's be honest, most of us.
Speak for yourself, Jeff.
By the way, Jennifer's also the person who got me going to hot yoga, so she helped me in so many different ways. Anyway, okay.
enough of that. Enough of that. Unless you have any other general observations about the state of America's sex life here on Valentine's Day, and I take it you don't. Jeffrey, are you deeply offended? The no lube, the mocking the song. Like, where? What's?
I'll say this, Jeff. You know, it's virtually impossible to offend me.
Uh huh.
I mean, I'll say this. I feel underappreciated. You know, it'd just be nice a little bit.
Fair.
You know? I'm going to get it to you next week. Mm.
That's what they always say.
That's right. Yeah. That's what they say. Right.
Yeah. We'll get around it.
So you have this, you have a seminar coming up at the UT Department of Urology. I gather it's February 20th. Well, tell me about the seminar.
Yeah. I want to say I'm excited about it.
Tell me about the topic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'm really grateful to the Department of Urology because they're opening this up not only to their patients, but they're opening it up to the community. So you just have to sign up, which is on my website, under prostate cancer. But they're opening it up, which I just think is great. They're really a super department there.
What's your website, by the way, so people know?
JenniferValley.com. So okay. It's really, V-A-L-L-I. It's common. This prostate cancer, 1 out of 8 men over their lifetime is diagnosed with prostate cancer. And so it's very, very common, and yet a lot of the time we don't get enough information on this.
So what happens to one's sex life? What's the impact on one's sex life
there's kind of different ways to go about treatment, and that all varies, including even active surveillance where they just watch you. And really, the medical people are the best people to talk to about that piece. But what I would say is that, you know, the first focus is the cancer control, and then becomes urinary control because that can become difficult. And then sexual functioning takes really the longest to get better. And if we're really looking after prostatectomy, in other words, removal of the prostate gland, 2 to 3 years really to completely recover, right? And it's based on lots of different things, age, you know, your overall health, how good your erections were before, what kind of surgery, you know. And then also penile rehab, which we really should talk a little bit about because we know
a lot like, Jeffrey, like an Achilles injury. You know, really. It's like a 2-year, 3-year process. Rehab is key.
Well, I was going to say, it's like that or an intervention. Like, listen, we got to really talk about it.
Get the Aaron Rodgers thing. Mm-hmm. But okay, you just said penile rehabilitation. Is that what you said? Penile rehabilitation. 2 words that have never been said before on the Jeff Calkins Show. What is penile rehabilitation?
So penile rehab really is a huge key to getting these healthy erections. So you remember from one of our past million shows that men get these erections every night, every 90 minutes when they're sleeping. And that's why they wake up sometimes with an erection. That whole erection.
Every 90 minutes while we're sleeping. Yes. I forget everything. But yes, I think I remember this. Yes.
And then in the morning, that is actually nothing to do with having to go to the bathroom, that erection. Some of the time they might wake up with an erection, right? Because of this.
Oh, it's just you happen to be in that moment that, like, it was 90 minutes, whatever. That's the one time you happen to wake up, but it could have been 90 minutes before you also had an erection.
Which means
connected to nothing.
You've got good blood flow if you're doing that, right? You've got good blood flow and you don't need it every morning, right? Because you might not just wake up during one of those times. But your penis is getting, well, not just your penis. People's penises.
Right. One's penis. We understand that. You're not talking about my specific penis. Thank you. Let's leave my penis out of this.
Your penis is getting nice blood flow, you know, all night.
Yeah.
That's like healthy. And what happens with...
So morning wood is really just like accidental wood. Like it's just regular old wood that happens. It could be anytime. It's not morning at all. It's not...
Well,
it's just luck of the draw wood.
Okay, I don't know what that was.
The NBC, the more you know.
That's fine. That's Jeffrey. That's Jeffrey intersecting cheesy things again. Yes. We're a very serious conversation. So anyway, you're having healthy blood flow.
How I feel now about this threesome here.
Mm-hmm. Not the first time I've heard that.
This is in fact the problem with threesomes, isn't it?
Of course.
Yes, you don't know who to pay attention to. I say that purely theoretically. So, all right. So we were at Morningwood. You've got healthy blood flow.
So what happens is the prostate cancer treatment and the prostate cancer interrupts that blood flow. So be able to do penile rehab, it's really helpful because and this is a newer thing, right? They didn't know about this so long ago. But you're sort of combining a lot of ED treatments that we have for erectile dysfunction to be able to help that blood flow come different ways, right? So like,
what are your basic ED treatments?
ED treatments, so the PDE5 inhibitors are the medicines that you know, like Cialis and Viagra and some of those medicines. And then there's a vacuum erection device. Basically you're pumping the penis up, and that helps you get venous blood flow. So it's not quite the same. And then the penile injection therapy, I know that doesn't sound fun, but it's basically...
You really give your penis a shot?
Yes. And what the good thing about that, because there's downfalls to each of these, like they're just difficult spaces for each drawback.
So one is that you're giving your penis a shot. That's one of the downfalls.
One is that you're giving your penis a shot. But with the PDE5 inhibitors, the medicines, people a lot of times get, you know, blood, they get blood flow to every part of their body, all over. And so that can give you a headache, it can give you stuffy nose, you can feel like yucky, right? The technical term. And so the penile injections, you're basically taking that medicine, putting it straight into the penis. So you're not getting that systemic all over your body kind of reaction. Instead, you're getting it right where you need it.
Straight to the source.
Right. And there's also a urethral suppository, which not used quite as much. But when I think...
So all those things are also used in the context of recovering from prostate surgery?
Right. There's so, yeah. So if I were going to just... Actually, I want to tell you University of Michigan, because I was trained there and they have a big sexual health program for them. And what they suggest is the vacuum erection device 3 times a week, right? That's with the constriction device if somebody's going to masturbate or if they're going to be sexual. And that's going to be the most likely way.
Are we talking about... We're not talking about sex 3 times a week. We're just talking about private workouts at home, basically? Is that what you're talking about?
Well,
like rehab sessions.
So 3 times a week, somebody would use that pump and they could masturbate or they could be partnered, right? And if somebody has just had prostatectomy, that's going to be probably the most... that's going to be probably the way they're going to get their erection when they start getting erections at the right time. Do you know what I mean?
So this really works out like... It literally is like exercise. You're working out
exactly
and you're building back the muscles to get erections again or something like that.
And you're helping, oxygenated blood get to the right place. So let me just get this quickly, just if somebody's trying to hear this. So three times a week, they would use this with the constriction device. That's a vacuum.
What's a constriction device?
It's like a ring.
I hate to ask.
A ring.
It's a ring.
Right. So
put around, little fella.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
This sounds delightful.
Okay. No, it's okay. So
it's okay.
You know what? If you thought this was going to make your erections better, you would do this.
Yeah. No. You do it. Give me the rings,
yes,
baby.
Okay. So one. So that. But I'm just saying, if somebody uses that,
Lord of the Rings, they call me.
Oh
now.
My gosh.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Go.
And so I'm the cheesy one. Jeez.
For people who want the information, Jeffrey, we have to be quiet. Go ahead.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. Okay. The Prelude pump is easier to use a lot of times, and it doesn't have that It doesn't have the ring, but it basically helps. It helps with the same things, but it's not for any kind of penetrative sex. So 3 times a week, you'd be using the pump, and then the rest of the days you would be using the Prelude pump. So you're really kind of using some pump every day.
You want daily workouts.
Right. And then meanwhile, they also suggest that somebody take the Viagra, Cialis, but they suggest one of those medicines either every day or every other day. And then they also suggest daily masturbation if the person is willing. And
let me ask you this, Jennifer.
Yeah. So that's like
again,
a whole plan.
You can sign up for the seminar if you go to Jennifer's website.
Free.
Again,
it's free
seminar at the UT Department of Urology. So look into that. Here's my question, Jennifer. When people hear this, do they just say, you know what? I had a good run. It's time to hang it up. Is that common with men? And
well, I think the main thing is that they need the information so that they can make that choice. Because sometimes we don't all get them the information, right?
100%.
Right. So it's
very
important.
But I suspect that there's a lot of just folding, no one to fold them. I suspect a lot of men, maybe out of just because they don't know, they just say the hell with it, and then they feel like less of a human being.
Yeah, I would say that they really need the information so that they can make their choice.
Right.
And they would make that choice maybe with their partner. they would be thinking about a lot of different components, because this is a big thing, and it would feel very, it's very not so easy to get the cancer, right? And so a lot of choices are taken away from you. And so really, you know, what we want.
I literally have a family member who I was talking about this with yesterday, who was literally talking about NFC and whatever, you know, whatever. So it's absolutely critical.
With prostate cancer, or a different thing?
Yeah, with the prostate cancer.
Yeah, so exactly, it's like exactly choices that go question. Away, yeah. and everybody's uncomfortable to talk about it, whether you're talking about the patients or the providers, a lot of providers. And so, and then also it's about getting, you know, up-to-date information. And this is why we're doing this. This is why you're doing this, because we're trying to get the information out. Now, the key with the penile rehab is that you don't see a result anytime soon, but you have to do this anyway. Right? If you're really trying to get this better, you would do this.
It's like anything, really. You got to work at it. You got to put in the, got to put in the commitment.
But the biggest thing is that people give up because they don't see the results that are immediate. And they have to be told you're not going to see any results for maybe a year, right?
But for a year?
Well, it depends. We're saying that it takes quite a while to get better. And you can start, connecting sexually is going to happen with the pumps, but then those medicines will probably help once a person can get about 50% erect. They can go in and look at, talk to their doctor about what they're doing with that once they can get about 50% erect on their own. But they would be doing that anyway every day with the penile rehab.
All of a sudden in our ninth year, Jeffrey, we may not be appreciated once we were, but we're actually getting very important information.
Yes, of course. That's what we care about the most.
And that's why we care about the most. It's Dr. Jennifer Valley, of the certified sex therapist at the UT Health Science Center from the Department of Urology and OBGYN. The seminar is, I believe, Jennifer, February 20th from 9:30 till 11:30.
Yeah, I want to say to both of you that I'm not kidding here. So I really do appreciate what you guys are trying to do, because whether we're talking like even the joking when we're laughing about it, right? It sort of helps somebody not be quite as uncomfortable with the topic.
Well, isn't that the key? Yeah. Laughing about it? Like, isn't, in fact, laughter... How important is laughter in sex, Jennifer? The ability to not take it all too seriously.
Well, some of it's laughter. Some of it may be just that somebody can flex and not be, have such a rigid mind about what sex look like. Like, it has to be penetrative sex. Like, think about the prostate cancer. If they're only thinking sex is penetrative sex, this is going to be a hard thing to just automatically lose, because... It may not look
Here's
that way.
The question,
you
though.
Give up
Here's
intimately.
The, okay, let me ask you a question. Because a lot of times people will say, "Well, you can still pleasure someone other ways. It doesn't have to be blah blah blah." But for the man, like in the end, I would think, the cuddling's nice and whatever. But I would think in the end, and maybe it's just the way we're wired, like you're in it for the orgasm at the end, right? Can you still have the orgasm at the end? Like, if you're not going to have the orgasm at the end, how many men really are interested in the... And I know it's about the journey, not the destination, but it feels like men might also mostly be interested in the destination.
Men care... Studies show men do care about the orgasm, but studies also show they care about pleasing their partner. And the thing is that we already know is that about 25% of women don't orgasm from penetrative sex. So I'm not saying necessarily just cuddling... I'm saying like other kinds of sex that, we typically count as foreplay, which is not a good word for a sex therapist, because we validate all kinds of sex. To go to some of those...
Foreplay implies that like oral sex isn't sex, with Bill Clinton theory. But it actually is sex.
If we're trying to please women, we think that that women, the current theory is that if there's less than 2 centimeters between the urethral opening and the clitoris, if it's less than that, the woman might be more likely to orgasm during penetrative sex. But that only is happening somewhere between 25% and 30% of the women, right? So most women are orgasming with clitoral stimulation. So that's really very important to remember, whether we're talking about men with prostate cancer because they still want to be able to please their partners, or whether we're talking about... aging, and people are, even just men that have erection difficulties, if they're only going to penetrative sex, this is it's a very strict sexual script where it's like, I hate to use the word rigid, but it's very rigid. Right?
You said rigid twice
very
now,
rigid
and I knew what
thinking.
You were doing there. I heard rigid. I heard it twice. You know, I felt a lot of pressure when you said rigid. I'll be honest.
I'm sorry. It's going to be all right.
Which is easier to deal with? And maybe this is a silly question. ED or premature ejaculation? And aren't they both sometimes just in the head? Not in. I mean,
deal
in the mind.
With for the person or for what do you mean?
No, for the to ameliorate
to treat.
Them, to address
okay.
them, to
okay.
treat them.
Yes. Oh, I don't know that answer. I think that there are very specific things that we're talking about that help erections, right? I mean, in terms
right.
of, we're talking about there's methods that would help with blood flow, psychologically tuning into the moment. We think of that. We also think of adding sex in a little at a time, possibly providing before receiving, and I don't mean in one night, but I mean like somebody might slowly integrate it in with non-genital touch, then they shift over to genital touch, but they might just provide for their partner at that point because they're more confident, they have a nice night, they feel good, they feel confident as male or whatever. then maybe they work on non-genital receiving in a non-genital way. How good of a receiver are they? Can they tune into the moment? Where is their mind going? Can they feel comfortable fantasizing? Can they fantasize and tune into the erotic moment rather than the evaluating moment? Like, we don't want evaluating. How's my
right.
penis? How's my penis?
No, no.
Right?
How am I doing? How
right.
am I doing? How
right.
am I doing? How am I doing?
Exactly.
Yeah,
now,
no,
premature ejaculation.
We're always saying how we're doing, how we're doing, how we're doing.
See, everybody wants validation.
Everyone wants validation. Hey, we have to go, Jennifer.
Okay.
Next year, same time. That'll be our 10-year anniversary. We got to do something big.
Well,
we have to
know,
do something
at
big.
At some point,
have an extravaganza.
We still have to talk about at some point breast cancer and menopause. So that's
well.
Important.
Maybe we'll schedule a special appearance. That would be off. That would be different of Jennifer Valley. Okay, it's Dr. Jennifer Valley. Go to her website, jennifervalley.com, if you're interested in this seminar. We got to get out of here. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's. Wonderful to have you as ever.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.